The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And welcome to you if you're online as well. This is God's Favorite House. If you just tuned in, if you think you stumbled onto the channel, God has ordered your steps, and he that has ordered your steps has a word in store for you this morning. So this morning we want to talk about roots, the anchor of our lives. Every one of us seated here, joining online, everyone can be traced to a root. Every single one can be traced to a root. Have you ever asked yourself, why do I think the way I think? Why do I talk the way I talk? Why do I reason in this way? We've had encounters in life. I believe you have had encounters. Even children have encounters that have shaped us, or should I say, have defined our lives. If you've ever had an encounter that has shaped or defined your life, that is the root. For some of us, thriving experiences have been all that we've been having, and those thriving experiences can be traced to a root. Likewise, for many, the battles we have faced or we have been faced with today is as a result of our roots. I mean, you live in Nigeria. If you're not facing any kind of battle, maybe you are living in another country in Nigeria. But that in itself is traced to a root. So just as every plant, a plant is the evidence of a seed that is sown, right? Right? Am I communicating? A plant is an evidence. Pastor K is a farmer. If I say anything wrong, he's here to correct me, right? A plant is an evidence of a seed sown. Every plant has a root. So if every plant has a root, so can the manifestations of the physical, every physical manifestation can be traced to a root. So what are roots, right? In definition, I didn't write this. This is the English definition of roots. Definition of roots. Roots are important underground part of all vascular plants. Vascular plants are plants that have tissues that transport nutrients from the soil to different parts of the plant, right? That's the definition of roots. And the roots are used for absorbing essential mineral elements, nutrients from the soil. Roots can also be used to store food, right? Roots come from the Latin word radix or radix. I'm not Latin, so I'll pronounce the word as it comes to me. Radix. And what radix or radix means is the starting point of anything. It's the starting point of anything. So you can call it the origin, whether it describes a physical tree, whether it describes something that is a situation or a problem, right? So radix or radix means the starting point. So the root is the starting point of anything, right? I'm going somewhere. So for the purpose of this teaching, what does it mean to have roots? We're in a spiritual community, so let's take it now to the spiritual. What does it mean to have roots? To have roots means to be connected deeply or integrated into a system. That's what it means to have roots. Albeit positive or negative, when you're connected deeply or integrated to any system, you can say that you have roots, right? To have roots means to have depths. It means that you are not shallow, or that thing is not shallow. It also means to be well grounded and stable. When things are rooted, they are well grounded and stable, right? It means to have the right foundational values that supports your thriving experience in life. When someone has a thriving experience in life, they say that the person is grounded, right? They say that the person is rooted. Is this the first time you heard that? Say that guy is grounded, he's rooted, okay? Even in God's favorite house, you should be rooted into the system of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to have roots means that you are resilient in spite of seasons. Because it's the roots that will carry you when the storms and the challenges of life come. Have you ever seen a tree that is thrashed by the wind? Thrashed by the torrents, right? But still stands. Even though it is bent over, it is still standing. You say that that tree is deeply rooted. You know what? When I looked at this tree, this sort of characterizes many people's lives. Maybe my life more than yours. Maybe you've not had any kind of issues in life. But the reason why that tree is still standing, even though bent over, is because it has deep roots. I pray for you that you will have deep roots in Jesus' name. Roots also represent continuation or continuity. So to cut off a root means that you terminated that thing or you terminated that one. Because even after the harvest of a season, what is left of that plant will only survive by the fruits. Pastor, okay, am I speaking the truth here? What is left by a plant after a harvest? So Pastor Kate sold us, I don't know if he sold or he dashed me purple, a few months ago. And I took the liberty of taking some of those seeds and I planted it. And I was saying to him that if you see your boy's compound, you'll be proud. I have purple everywhere, right? And he said that I shouldn't worry. That even after I pluck it, if you come back, I say hallelujah. So I've been plucking purple, juicy purple. Please, when you buy Pastor Kate's purple, plant it too. I'm not buying purple anymore. He has given me a hack, right? I have juicy purples everywhere. So that tree, even though I've entered the tree, will say, if I say then no, I will not meet the plant people. I've entered that tree, but it's still giving me purple. Hallelujah. So after the harvest in season, after the everything, they take your leaves, they take your fruits, what keeps you standing is the fact that you are rooted. I say, in the name of Jesus, you will be rooted. Yeah. And to uproot a plant is to terminate that plant. Please don't gloss over what I just said. To uproot a plant is to terminate its chances of continuity. If they uproot you, God forbid, from God's presence, if they take whatever you have, they should never take away your God. If they take away whatever you have, they should never take away your faith. But you know what? I'm also praying that God will uproot you from the things that do not give him glory in Jesus' name. A popular passage in the scripture we refer to as the parable of the sower captures the essence of strong roots. And that is in Matthew 13, verse 6. The KJV version puts it this way. It says that when the sun was up, they were scorched, talking about the seeds. You know this parable, I'm not going to go. The sower went and he sowed seeds, right? Some fell on the rocky ground, some shallow. But this is the one we're talking about, right? Because of what it captured. It says that, and when the sun was up, this is seeds that fell into this particular shallow soil, so to speak. And because they had no roots, they withered. They had no roots and they withered. Another translation, the CEV version, says that because they did not have deep roots. So not only should you have roots, you should have deep roots. The Living Bible version says that because they had so little roots, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for myself, that your roots will not be described as little roots in Jesus' name. And when the root is weak, little, or without depth, the plant cannot withstand the pressure of the elements like that plant that we saw. So we must have deep roots. Everybody say deep roots. Deep, well-nourished, essential roots. Roots are essential for your spiritual growth and your resilience. And if this is true, right, then we need to have well-prepared nutrients, right? New soil. Papi has taken us through that. I'm not even going to go through that. Right soil, right? Right seed, right condition, of course. Abundant harvest. Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to look at, I'm going to give you a lot of Bible references. I want you to look at some together. The others, please go home. And I pray that, because in talking about roots, we don't, one topic, one teaching can't do it. This is meant to be a series. First time I ever taught it, I taught it as a series. God will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you, bring you into a place of understanding as you take the words and meditate on it in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Romans 11, 16 says, if the roots of a tree are holy, the rest of the tree is holy too. Guess what? The reverse of that scripture is also the case. Meaning, if the roots of a tree are contaminated, the rest of the tree will be contaminated. If the roots of the tree is polluted, the branches, the leaves, the fruits will be contaminated. I will not be a polluted or contaminated root or branch in the name of Jesus. I thought you would pray that prayer by yourself. Say that I will not be. Say it. I will not be a polluted, contaminated root in the mighty name of Jesus. I will not be a contaminated root to my generation. Why am I talking about the generation? You will find out in a bit. So when you check out verse 18 of that scripture, verse 18 of that scripture now in the Message version, check this out. It says, remember, you aren't feeding the root. The root is feeding you. That's also telling us something. That every manifestation of your life is as a result of something that you are anchored in. Remember we said root is a starting point. Sometimes some people have an experience and they never recover. It becomes a root that everything else is built on. Let's say they had the experience when they were a child. Maybe they were a teenager. And then you find out that that person grows up and they are married and their reference point for everything that happens in their marriage is from that root. Let's say they were even abused. And they didn't deal with the roots. They grow up and they become what? Can you tell me? Abusers. Let's say they were oppressed and they did not deal with the root of oppression. They grow up and they become oppressors. Let's say they were they received the kind of blessing that they open up their eyes to the goodness of God. When they grow up, what would they become? They become blessed as well. My prayer is that every reference that you had before Christ will not manifest in your life in Jesus' name. And every reference that you have had and begun to have after Christ will continually manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. He says it's the root that is feeding you. So we can't take roots for granted. It's like taking the foundation of a building for granted. Of course, you know that is tantamount to a disaster, right? So I say to you again that you will not be a polluted, contaminated root to your generation in Jesus' name. Why? Because a sick root will always bring about a sick plant. A polluted root will always bring about a polluted plant. Now take the man Gehazi in scripture. Who knows Gehazi? Gehazi? Elisha's second in command. Let me call him that. Anybody knows that story? Come on, Bible students, you know that story. Gehazi. Gehazi could easily have been Elisha's successor, the same way Elisha was Elijah's successor. I believe. And I'll tell you why I believe from the scripture. If you look at 2 Kings 4, it describes the story of the Shunammite woman who Elisha had helped. The woman was barren. Elisha came into her house. The woman provided space for Elisha. And then Elisha blessed her by, you know, prophesying a child. The child came forth. Fast forward, the child dies. When the child dies, the woman comes back to Elisha that helped me. Elisha took his mantle, which was a significant representation of his office, and gave it to Gehazi and said, you know what? Go and put it on this child, and this child will come back to life. He says, tuck your cloak, belt, staff, blah, blah, blah. Don't greet anyone, right? And anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay the staff on the boy's face. Lay the staff on the boy's face. He says, when you go and do it, right, the child will come back to life. Elisha wasn't just saying it because he was trying to make the woman feel better or was trying to just mess with Gehazi. I said, he actually believed that I've trained this guy enough for this guy to be able to carry out this assignment. The pain of every leader is to look back and not see his followers following. To look back and see that all the time is invested in their mentorship, in their coaching, in their training is wasted. I can imagine Elisha saying, yeah, this guy will do it. Madam, don't worry. He has my spirit. And I used to do my head in and saying, why didn't Gehazi fulfill this assignment? He had the mantle. The man has, it was like Elisha saying, you have my spirit. Go and do this thing. It's like Papi comes and say, Pastor G, you know what? Go and do this thing. You have my spirit. I want you to think about that. You have my spirit. Go into the world, you have my spirit. Go into your workplace, you have my spirit. Go into your businesses, you have my spirit. In your family, you got my spirit. That's what God is saying. And Gehazi went there, and it didn't work. Why? If you are like me. Why? But thank God that God's wisdom is never misplaced. So if you fast forward to chapter 5 of that scripture, you find out why. A guy called Naaman, who was a general in the Syrian army, came, showed up on the scene, wanted to be healed. After he was healed, he wanted to give Elisha lots of gifts. Elisha said, no, I'm not taking gifts. Gehazi went behind his back and took the gifts. Gehazi got gifts. But guess what Gehazi still got? He got leprosy as well. What Gehazi had done was Gehazi had just created a platform of infirmity for his generation. Let's read that scripture. It says, and when he went to his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? He said, I haven't been anywhere. But Elisha asked him, don't you realize that I was there in thought? Another translation says, in heart, in spirit. Many times you believe that your leader cannot see what you are doing. Your leader sees what you are doing. Especially when the leader is led by the spirit. You might think that you're hiding it. But God will reveal it. Because he says that everything under darkness will be brought to light. Elisha says, I was there with you in spirit. And Naaman, when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you, and he said to him a very profound question. Don't miss this. Is this a time to receive money and clothing? That is, this a time for us to begin to jolly? Now, Naaman might say, Gehazi might say, well, this boss, he adore. He doesn't even know how to enjoy. But what Elisha was saying to Naaman is that there's a season where we plant and there's a season where we reap. So when a leader is giving you a direction, don't think that you are wiser than the leader. That was the challenge that Judas had. This is just saying, they bring money. You are just saying, imagine the girl bring alabaster. You say you should be busting it on your feet. That thing that we will sell, all of us, no hammer. But that's what's going on here. He went, defied his boss, defied authority to take something, not knowing that he will be found out. And the boss said, you know what? Okay, take the gifts, take leprosy. God forbid that you would do something that your children will begin to curse your body in the grave. God forbid. His children inherited a platform of infirmity. So imagine being born into that family. And I believe I'm speaking to a lot of people. I know my own battles that I had to fight to get out. Imagine being born into that kind of battles, in that family, fighting battles that you know nothing about. It's only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that you will know what's going on. And that's why we don't take the GWDI seasons for when Papi will just say, there's someone here. And guess what? Don't even wait for a Papi saying, there's someone here. You take it to God and say, what are the battles in this family? What are the battles in this place that I'm not aware of that is working against my destiny? And then settle it. Praise the name of the Lord. Imagine having a relationship with someone that is a Gehazi's great-great-grand. Imagine marrying someone that is a Gehazi great-great-great-great-grand. Imagine entering a business where your business is leprotic because you are connected to someone that has been cursed from generations. If there be anything hanging over you, because you are in Christ, we declare that it is broken in the name of Jesus. And this is why it is so important to descend by the Spirit. Always seek understanding of the origin of any battle, anything that is a repeated occurrence. Otherwise, you will not be able to deal with it. Once it's a repeated occurrence, men, don't take it for granted anymore. Once is fluke. Twice is not coincidence. No. Twice is not coincidence. It means that you got to solve that problem spiritually. And it says, after all, Isaiah 4:6, right? My people perish for lack of knowledge. You have to be knowledgeable about what's going on by the Spirit of God. Can I show you another scripture that blew my mind? Deuteronomy 28:18 says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe. Description, man, woman, that's a people whose heart turneth away from the Lord, this day from the Lord, to go and serve the gods of these nations. Now you may say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Look, there are a lot of gods of these nations right now. It's money, it's fame, it's different things. People's hearts have been turned away. In fact, the world is designed to turn your heart away from God. The world. from the moment you wake up. See, it's on the TV, it's on your phones, it's on the medias. Have you ever wondered why they need to use a half-naked girl to advertise football, a man's sport? Just think about it. Have you ever thought about it? They do things that make that sort of neutralize your spirituality. Let's not even go there. That's not what I'm going to. This is what I'm going to. It says, lest there should be among you a root. Everybody say a root. That beareth gall and wormwood. It means that for some of us, right, there are things that our fathers have done that is creating gall and wormwood. Okay, scrap that. There are things that you can do that will create gall and wormwood for the next generation. What was their own? They turned from God. You've not turned from God. It says in the Living Bible Version, it says, that day, a root will be planted that will grow bitter and poisonous fruit. May the fruits of your life not be called bitter. We've been praying a lot of double portion prayers, and this is like similar to one of them. May the fruits of your life not be called poisonous. In the mighty name of Jesus. Roots that are planted, that produces what it says, bitter and poisonous fruits. So fruits are tied to your roots. This is a checkpoint. Fruits are tied to your roots. Are you angry all the time? Are you impatient? Is it that you find it to love people? Maybe you see yourself acting out of character. If you notice, I'm speaking in the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. Because fruits are tied to the roots. It says the fruits of the Spirit, meaning the fruits that are tied to the person that is connected to the Spirit, is what? Love. Joy. And you're saying, I'm moody all the time. Don't I have the right to be angry and be moody? No, you don't really have the right if you are in Christ, right? Because it is not a fruit of the Spirit. So if it's manifesting, it means that you are of a different kind of root, not rooted to the Holy Spirit. I'm impatient. That's how I am. No. There's another root walking. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience, right? Hallelujah. I'm not gentle. I be hard man. Where are you planted? Where's your roots? Jesus was not called a hard man. But Jesus did more than all the hard men combined in his time. Everything swaying you. They can press your button anytime. And you say, it's not me. They are the ones that are. No. You are not responsible for people's actions, but you are responsible for your reaction, right? What is your root? What is your root? Your fruits are tied to your roots. Your fruits are tied to your roots. Back to that scripture, that there will be no gall or wormwood. I just have a few questions that I felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't ask you questions for you to give an answer. It's questions to provoke thoughts, right? And I'm just going to read them out as the questions came to me. Are there unexplainable battles in your life? Because now you're already having an idea. Your spirit is open. I can tell to this thing about roots. Are there unexplainable battles in your life? Roots. Do you suffer from strange occurrences? Roots. Are they reoccurring? Let's say you're having oppressive dreams. Roots. Seeing yourself in strange places over and over again. Some of us will see ourselves in secondary school or one house where your parents used to live. Roots. Patterns or cycles that you know that this can be normal. It's not a normal occurrence. Roots. Roots. And you must identify and deal with each and every one of these roots. Rather than blame people or play the victim, it's because they did. No. It's not because they did. I will always say that for Joseph, Joseph had a starting point, right? His first starting point was he was born into love. His father gave him, you call it coat of many colors. That coat actually meant the one that his father put in authority amongst his brothers, right? And then he was stripped of that. he was dehumaned, that could easily have become Joseph's roots. He could have said, you know what? What's there to life? The people that are closest to me, they robbed me of my dignity. They sold me into slavery. But Joseph said, no, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me too. It happened to me is a full stop. They sold me. I'm now a slave, full stop. So the moment Potiphar's wife said, come, lie with me. Say, okay, yes, I will lie with you. And then he becomes a glorified slave all the days of his life. Joseph says, no, it happened for me too. How do I know? Because later in Genesis 50, he said to his siblings, no, don't be upset with yourself. You sold me so that I can come ahead of you so I can rescue you. So it happened for me too. So you don't blame others for your actions or play a victim. If there is a strange occurrence, if there's something that's out of place, check what is the root. What's holding this particular plant? And then you deal with it. God will give you the grace, the strength to deal with every root that's not of him in Jesus' name. Matthew 3:10 says in the NLT version that even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. The KJV says, lay the axe to the root. Lay the axe to the root, my brother, to this, my sister. Lay the axe to the root. It is not normal to have an abnormal life. It's not normal. It's not normal. God didn't tell you that you will have strange occurrences. He said you will have trials, but that he has overcome. So there's an overcoming path to every trial. Don't institutionalize challenges in your life. So deal with undesirable fruits. Lay the axe to the roots. Because if you don't lay it to the roots, right? Listen. If you pluck the fruits, if you pluck the leaves, guess what? By the roots, the plant will still survive. Like Pastor K's papa in my house. I hope that brought out the image as I wanted it to. Not only will it survive, can I tell you what else will happen? By the roots will it multiply. Not only survive. No wonder. It seemed like the challenge was small last year. Or it was small 2 years ago. Then last year, it amplified. Devil doesn't know what they call boundaries. If he tests it, you don't block it. It comes back. It tests it some more. It will break that boundary. Then you don't even come and will take the territory. That's his modus. By the roots, it will multiply. That's why you take the axe and you lay the axe to the roots. My wife says something that's so profound that I'm adopting. She says, I do not lose things. If you see that woman lose 200 naira and begins to look for 200 naira, you'll be shocked, like, ah, not be alarmed, be this. Now, it's not alarm. She has told herself that she cannot lose things. And guess what? She always finds her things. So me, I've had businesses. They claim me out, shoo. I'll say, well, bad business. Business gone bad. It's a lie. The devil has tested the boundary, right? Say, okay, this one they leave. He comes back. He takes another one. And I'm speaking to myself. A close family relative, bring some money, let's invest. Swindled me. Bad business. I tried to sell some equipment I used to use when I was doing oil and gas. They took all the trucks. They didn't pay me. Bad business. Ah. I won't wake up. Everybody say roots. It is not just a bad business. You deal with it. Lay the axe to the roots. Praise the name of the Lord. And you know what? I have good news for you this morning. That regardless of your background or the roots which you have previously stemmed from, as a covenant child of God, if you are a covenant child of God this morning, you are grafted into the new tree and joined to the righteous tree that gives life. Hallelujah. I thought you'd be excited about that. Because it seems like this guy is just talking about, yes, you are. Romans 11, 17 says, but if some of the branches were broken up, Romans 11, 17, if some of the branches were broken up, and you, although a wild olive shoot, you are grafted in among others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. You are now sharing in the nourishing root. Everybody say the nourishing root. The root that can never die. The root that can never be contaminated. The root that can never be polluted. The root that continually gives life. Because he said that I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, right? Praise the name of the Lord. The contemporary English version says that you Gentiles are like branches. Who are Gentiles? I was a Gentile. Of a wild olive tree made to be part of the cultivated olive tree. You have taken the place of some branches that were cut away from it. And because of this, you enjoy, everybody say enjoy. Listen, check out this hack. You enjoy what? Blessings. I didn't put that there. The blessings that come from being part of the cultivated tree. You now enjoy the blessings. This is called grafting, right, Pastor K? Eh? Grafting. Can you see that guy? Let's say this guy was plucked off from a poisonous root, a poisonous tree, where the fruits were bitter, the leaves were poisonous, right? And then he planted him and grafted him into Jesus. He's already budding and bringing forth leaves. What would these leaves be? These leaves would be for healing. When these leaves grow into branches, the branches would be for shelter. When the branches begin to bring fruits, guess what? There will be sweet fruits. Hallelujah. So you and I, when I say I thought you'd be excited, this is our life now. We've been taken from whatever roof. Let's say they gave birth to you in Use, or you came from Use, that's where the village I come from, right? Where they say they fly in the afternoon winds, right? But today, I am planted in Christ. Yes. Let's say you came from Ijebu one thing. When they say that if they curse you, your own is finished. God forbid that thing. When you are planted like this and grafted in God, everything that comes out of your life is sweet. Hallelujah. Where did you come from? What village altar did they plant that they are using to trouble your enemy? Now that you are in Christ, nothing. Kosio, eh? That's what it says. Hallelujah. I think I just preached myself happy. You have been joined to this root of righteousness. Because this plant has a root. It's the root of righteousness. Therefore, the costless cost cannot stand. You are budding new life. You have been plucked off from the evil patterns that made it, you know, part of your past experience. And you have this cultivated olive tree, is what it says. And guess what? The benefits of this olive tree, the covenant blessings that Papi has been speaking over you, is now your portion. Hallelujah. That's because you are now part of this tree. So I just want to say it in advance that if you are not part of this tree and you came in here today, please don't live here as part of the cursed, poisonous tree. Or if you used to be part of the tree and something happened and you by yourself plucked yourself or they plucked you, today you can be engrafted back into that tree. Hallelujah. But to continue to enjoy this double portion, we must stay grafted. Otherwise, you will suffer the same fate as the branches that were plucked off from that tree. So what is my starting point? Your starting point is that you must separate yourself from the old tree completely, right? You must break away from the old. And I'm not talking about just being born again. I'm talking about being intentional about dealing with patterns of the old tree. You know your own patterns that you've been through. I know my own. You have to be intentional in dealing with them. If your tongue was given to lies, you have to intentionally say, you know what, I will speak the truth in every given situation. If you are given to procrastination, you are going to say that by the help of the Holy Spirit, I will be active, I will be proactive. Praise the name of the Lord. If you were living in offense, Scripture says, let there be no root of bitterness found in you. It means that let there be, you will not allow that be anymore. I dare say no root of poison. Another version calls it no root of poisonous fruits in you. So your starting point is acknowledging that you need help. I need help in that area that you know the root bears gall and wormwood, and then cry out to the Lord to help you. In Judges 6, please read it when you get home. If I read from Judges 6 to Judges 8, beautiful read. The story of Gideon, right? We learn about Gideon living in a time of oppression in a town called Ophrah. He was obviously a man of means with loads of potential, but sadly, he was battling with roots, right? And because of that, he was hiding to have his daily bread, so to speak. What happened to Gideon? The Israelites had done what Deuteronomy 8:28 said they shouldn't do. God said, lest there will be gall and wormwood, right? Bitterness, poisonous fruit. They are turned away from God, so the poisonous fruit that they had was that they were oppressed by their enemies. So Gideon was oppressed as a result of his roots. But Gideon was chosen by God to rise from that place of obscurity where he was hiding to provide for himself and bring deliverance to Israel. I pray for you that by your hand, God will deliver your family. But before God could do that, he first told Gideon, we need to deal with the roots. Let's look at Judges 6. I read from 25. He said, that night, the Lord told Gideon to hitch his father's best ox to the family's altar of Baal and pull it down, and to cut down the wooden idol of the goddess Asherah and that stood nearby. Verse 26 in the Living Bible, hear this. It says, replace it. So when you uproot, there has to be a replacement. He said, replace it. Replace it with an altar, long story, that glorifies God. So with God, you cannot transact over mess. You can't transact over mess. With God, you have to deal with the roots first. It's a God order. God could have said, you know what, Gideon, I want to deliver Israel by your hand. I hereby commission 300,000 people. They will hear your voice, go and deliver. No. God first told him, let us first deal with the Asherah poles in your father's house. Let's destroy the altar there, right? And then I will handpick the people that will go with you and deliver Israel. God dealt with the roots first. I pray that God will deal with every poisonous root in your life in Jesus' name. So the question now is, how do I rise beyond my roots? Five quick things, and then I will want us to pray. I said quick things because we're almost out of time. So I most likely will just basically almost read them in second, hopefully in the second worship experience, I will break them down a lot more further. Like I said, this is just trying to cramp everything in one teaching. Praise the name of the Lord. So the first thing we do to rise above any kind of roots that you can call gall or poisonous, anything that has seemed limiting in your life, anything that is not the experience that you desire, first thing you need to do is what? Recognize and respond to God's call upon your life. Gideon had to recognize and respond to God's call upon his life. The Bible says that when God appeared to him by the angel and called him Gideon, Gideon says, excuse me, sir. Yes, sir. I saw that in the Bible. I was like, really? It's there in the God's Word translation, right? Judges 6:13. It says, excuse me, sir. So when people sometimes say, excuse me, sir, it's in the Bible. It says, excuse me, sir. Like Esa. No, that's not your Bible, say it. Esa. 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 Kilewi. What are you saying? He recognized. What are you saying? He recognized it. So in that acknowledging, God gave him the next instructions. So please recognize that God wants to use you and use me. When we say sign up to serve, God wants to use you, really. You can't come to church and go home go back every Sunday. They're doing like this. Look at this one. In fact, the devil wants you to do that. I'm not saying if you're not serving in church that you go to hell. God forbid. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the more you use your gifts, the more you use your time, the more you use your talent, the more you use your treasure to serve God, guess what? The enemy begins to know that this guy means business. Because the enemy just wants people that are just looking, just coasting through life. Because people that are serving God are the people that are saying, we're not comfortable with the ordinary, right? We're going for the extraordinary. Recognize God's call upon your life. He wants to use you in spite of your doubts. He wants to use you in spite of your perceived inadequacies. Gideon said, me? My family is the least. Don't you see where I am hiding? God said, come. That's what I want to use. God will use you in Jesus' name. Number two, check, confront, and clear. I love to call them the three C's. Check, confront, and clear. The three C's to identifying what is working and what is not working. It works all the time. I mean, it works for me. Check, confront, clear. Everybody say it with me. Check, confront, clear. How? Spend time in God's word. The more you spend time in God's word, the more you are checking, right? The more you are confronting things, because it begins to reveal things to you that are not working in your life. Not only now, when you read the Bible, don't read the Bible with the eye of condemnation, retribution. Also read the Bible with eye of expectation. Because not only is he revealing what is not working, he's saying, my son, this thing is working. I love you for that. My daughter, this thing is working. Well done. Keep going. So check, confront and clear. Check, confront and clear. James 1 from verse 22 tells us the Bible is like a mirror. When you look at the Bible, right, like a mirror, when you go to the mirror, what happens? Especially women, right? You check your face. You see a blemish. Checking, right? Confront. This thing a pimple or been a blackhead. They press it sometimes. Or they use their whatever. They rub it. You confronted it, right? After a while, what happens to it? Tell me. It clears up. I hope that is a very good illustration. Men can relate as well. Check, confront, clear. Don't logicalize it. Stay with it in the place of brooding until you have a conviction on what to do. Why is this thing not working? A beautiful way to confront, right, is praying in the spirit. When you sit down, don't pray only by your understanding. That's why you must be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Consistently brooding. Boom! God just opens up your eye. That's it. There's no time. I've told you about how I checked, confronted my name. What's my name, please? If you know my name, what's my name? Richard, right? Is it not a good name? My name means strong ruler. But then I was dealing with a battle. I was like, God, what is this? And he said, check your name. My name? Check your name. How did you get your name? My father gave me my name. Why did they give you a name? Because they named me Junior, because my father's name is Richard as well. Do you know what that means? Check. Confront. Long story short, I had a direction on what to do. I went to Papi, did that direction. Boom, broke it off. I am nobody's replica. You are nobody's replica. You are in your life. Check, confront, and clear. God will give you the wisdom in what's in Jesus' name. One thing I must tell you about checking and confronting and clearing, it will lead you down usually difficult choices, a path that you are unfamiliar with, a path that challenges norms and cultures. But that is the price that must be paid. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, seek confirmation. So number four, one is recognize that God wants to use you. God sees you. He wants you to be part of what he's doing. He has a call upon your life. Number two is to check, confront, clear. Number three is to seek confirmation. I've often said to people that God is not a mean, angry God that's just waiting for you to make a mistake. Or when he sends you something, you say, God, should I? And just break your head. No. God is open to confirmation. Father, are you saying? So what do? Actively seek his guidance through prayer and the word. And yes, you can ask him for confirmation when you are not certain. Gideon asked God for confirmation. That's where the popular fleece confirmation came, right? Say, God, if it's you, put water on the fleece. You, God did it. If it's you, don't put. He tested him. But he came from a place of purity. Gideon really wanted to know. Gideon wasn't doubting and saying, let me test this God the way the Pharisees do. No, he really wanted to be certain. God is not against you being certain, please. Even Mary said, how could these things be, right? Matthew 6. How could these things be? You can ask God for confirmation. I love the book. It's a book I read a while ago. Beautiful book. It's called Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybels. It says that when we ask God for things, or when he gives us instruction, it is not complex to discern God's answers. And he says, if your request is wrong, then the answer is no. God, should I go and take another man's wife? No. No. Should I follow another man's? No. When the request is wrong, no. And you know what that request is, that you're asking God to confirm. No. He's wrong. That guy called Balaam, right? He knew he was wrong. He says he still wants to go. God said, I'll be going. To the point where a prophet that sees became blind, that a donkey saw more than a human being. A donkey spoke when a human being was dumb. Are there places in your life where God has said no and you're trying to force it? No. He says no. He says, if the timing is wrong, then he says, slow. You're not there yet, son. Take it easy. You're not there yet, daughter. And he says, if you are wrong, he says, you know what? Grow. Grow. Stop blaming people for your woes. Grow. Everybody say, grow. Grow. And he says, but if the timing and the request, see two things there. Timing is good. Request is all right. And again, say nothing. And you are all right. He says, go. He says, go. My coach told me something I have not recovered from. He said, I exchange my brain for ears. That's deep. What he was saying is that as I see the Father do, I do. As I hear the Father speak, I speak. And to do his will is my meat. It's the hack of Jesus. He exchanges brain for ears. That means his whole head, his whole okponku is now ears. I pray myself, maybe you don't want that prayer, that God will help me exchange my brain for ears. That as I see him do, meaning my eyes will be open. How are your eyes open to God? The pure in heart will do what? You see God. So it means that my heart will be pure. Papi hasn't taken us through the heart, right? So I will see God. And then his demands will not be scarce in my ears, right? Right? And then when I wake up in the morning, Philippians 2:13 becomes alive to me. To will, a desire, right? And to do of his good pleasure. Praise the name of the Lord. So don't be too big. Don't be too proud. Don't be too scared. Don't be too familiar to ask God for confirmation. Don't be too big. Don't be too proud. Don't be too scared. Don't be overly familiar to seek God's confirmation. And seeking that confirmation, I repeat, is not from a place of doubting, especially when it's done with a heart of this thing not gonna work. Let it be done from a place of genuinely seeking for God's assurance, and he will assure you, affirm you in Jesus' name. Number four, obedience and trust. God's instructions will never really make sense, right? So, which is why I say, exchange your brain for ears. It will never make sense. And I have countless times, stories I can share on that. But as you grow in faith, it seems like the instructions become even more challenging. How many of us are there? Right? You thought you've seen God's challenge. The next one is even more challenging. But that is growing you in faith. You progress from one difficult stage to another difficult stage. It's like playing a video game, for those of you that play video games. You know, the next stage becomes sort of somewhat harder. But guess what? God has equipped us, each and every one of us, with what I call the compass called trust. Trust is like a compass, right? And then you just need to activate that compass so that obedience becomes easier. Get that? Trust is the compass. You don't know where to go. Open up your sat nav called trust. And as you follow it, it makes the road easier to follow. In Judges 7, if you read from verse 1 to 8, this same Gideon that was saying to God, confirm this, right? When he got to that place, God said to Gideon, you know what? You can't go with 300,000 people. I just need 300. Gideon said, oh yeah, yes sir. Do you see that? Gideon had grown from the place where he was saying, God, confirm, to a place where he says, whatever it is you want to do, I'm ready, let's go. And God says, yes. God took away all the excesses, and by 300 people, God got his victory. I say by the minimum in your house, one of the prayers we've been praying, that the smallest seeds in your life will grow into a massive tree. And I said, so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. Why? Because you trusted God. Why? Because you trusted God. Why? Because you took trust as your compass. You said, obedience is where I am headed. And you got to your destination. You will get to your destination in Jesus' name. God's ways are higher than our understanding. And we must trust him. That when he makes a demand of you, he's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Praise the name of the Lord. And number five, live a consecrated life. Live a consecrated life. We are on our individual races, but the goal, the direction is the same. It's the same. Live a consecrated life. It's not about where you start. It's about how you finish. How did Gideon finish? Read that scripture. Maybe second service, if you stay back. How did Gideon finish? Gideon started well, but Gideon created something that became a curse unto his generation. May you not start well and finish poorly in Jesus' name. This race that you have started, you will finish gloriously in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus was speaking to a man that he healed in John 5. The paraplegic, he said, sometime later, Jesus found him in the temple and again spoke to him. Jesus said, take a look at your body. It has been made whole and strong, so avoid a life of sin or else a calamity greater than any disability may befall on you. Calamity greater than the one that you had before. Jesus was saying, Don't go planting poisonous roots again, otherwise the consequences will be worse. So what is that thing you need to uproot this morning? What's that thing that you must stop this morning? You know your own. What's that addiction you've been given to that you need to uproot this morning? God is releasing his deliverance over us in season. Are you willing to take it? Are you willing to take that deliverance? If you are, first you must uproot. You must confront that thing, that secret addiction. God is set to deliver us from seductive spirits. The first time I taught this, I heard him say, I want to deliver someone from a peeping spirit. I'm like, what's a peeping spirit? Whatever it is that is the spirit that has plagued you, God will deliver you in the mighty name of Jesus. He is set to uproot every plant that he has not planted. So I want you to just take a minute and just go ahead and just begin to speak to the Lord. All heads bowed. Just begin to speak to him. What is that plant that needs to be uprooted right this morning? Speak to him now. Matsekata kazali kahandu mandalia. What is that plant that needs to be uprooted? That root that is not of him, that you know is a limitation that needs to be uprooted. Speak to him right now. Mande kosiada kaladalia zantelia zanta. You know that you are not planted. You're not planted. You're not engrafted in him. Ah, this is your opportunity. You want to come to Christ this morning. You want to be planted, grafted in Christ. I'm saying, Jesus, this morning, I want to be planted in you. I'm tired of living in the poisonous roots. Jesus, I need you. I want to come into your grafting, into your planting, and begin to bear the right fruits. And you just begin to cry out to the Lord yourself. Cry out to the Lord yourself. I'm tired of poisonous roots in my life. I'm tired of poisonous roots. I'm tired of poisonous roots. I'm tired of gall. I'm tired of wormwood. Marakashia talababobo shekele bozanta. Letalia zania kosele bahatalie. Oh, ratalia zeke mande rezota la hazanta. Meredelia kashia da bozanta la dana niandese.
Rabo sakiba halika sianda rabasika rubo siente de kete de bedebo. Ah, Father, we are just so grateful, oh God. Father in heaven, we are just so grateful. I want you to say after me. Father, I come before you today and I bring my life to you. I've heard your word today and I want my roots restructured. Let my life begin to bear fruit. Today, I come before you and I accept that you are my Lord. I believe you died for me and I confess from today that you are God. Let my life be transformed. Reorder my steps even from today. Everything I'll be doing from now onwards, let it give glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And Father and God, we just want to thank you. Thank you for everyone that has committed their lives even to your hands today. Asking the mighty name of Jesus. Because you, Lord, say that no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him near. These ones that have raised up their hands today, Lord, draw them near to you. Draw them near to you, Lord. From today, this decision that they've made, let it be a permanent one. In the mighty name of Jesus, show yourself mighty in their lives. In the name of Jesus, thank you, everlasting Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Every connection to bad soil, every root that needs to be broken, Lord, break it today in the name of Jesus. Let them be disconnected from generational causes in the name of Jesus. Things that have held every one of us down. Father, today we stand on the authority of God and we declare that our roots are good. Our fruits are good. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. For Jesus.